Okay. All right. Good to see everybody this morning. Yeah, I got a busy schedule coming up. And part of the reason the dates and stuff I don't have control over, I just need to be there when I need to be there. And it just so happens this fall, it's jamming a whole bunch of things together. Next Sunday, I'll leave for Pristina, Kosovo. And I think I shared with you guys, Avni, you know, the guy we baptized here not too long ago, you know, he about died here 3-4 weeks ago. Had to remove part of his bowel. They thought he had cancer. Turns out it's not cancer. He's got a temporary colostomy. He's in a lot of pain. He asked if I could help with some pain meds, so I'm taking some, but I can't get there till a week from Monday. To try to give him some relief for that. I can't even imagine going and getting all that done where he got it done. I've been in their hospitals. But he's a tough guy, toughest guy I ever met in my life. I mean, you guys know he talked to you. But anyway, his sons, he's been studying with his sons as well, so looking forward to that. Go on then to the Ukraine, leave out of Pristina, go to Ukraine, meet Alan Marshall in Kyiv at the airport. We'll spend a few days going to orphanages, shelters, places that we did before. And trying to locate the fellowship that Stuart Merrill kind of helped establish there some years ago and start to build the church work there in Ukraine. Then on to Minsk on the 27th of September till the 9th of October. And we got a lot of stops. Olga Goncharenko has got some things set up. We got some studies lined up with poor families, all kinds of stuff going on. Busy, busy time. Now, 2 weeks ago, as you might recall, I was in New Zealand. Aaron Knott, some of you remember Aaron. He worked it so Jay Wilson and I, could be on a program at what was called the Men's Challenge. It's been a meeting they've been doing for years. Like 30 years. And a bunch of guys from Australia always come to that. So they had a contingency of Australians that showed up. And they wanted 5 lessons pertaining more toward leadership and 5 the men's challenge. And Aaron says, how do you guys want to handle that? So me and Jay decided he'd handle the leadership ones and I'd handle the men's challenge ones. It's pretty much the same people. But we hit them high and hit them low. Me and Jay found out we're a pretty good team when we were doing some lessons in the Philippines some years ago. He and I preached 52 messages apiece in about 16 days. I mean, that idea when you see in Scripture of Jesus going up and getting the disciples up into the mountain apart because they hadn't even had time to eat, we were dragging. We were dragging. Jay would sleep during my messages and I'd sleep during his. But we thought we made a good team because Jay comes at it from the more lofty Christ in glory, worship and service, and, you know, Jesus, you know, high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and I'm down there pulling them out of the sewers by their ears, you know what I mean? I'm you guys have heard me preach. I'm coming at it from a more of a practical, day-to-day thing. Well, those guys, man, were so receptive. It was awesome. And even before we were done, one of the guys there, he's kind of a elder leader or something back in Australia, he come up and said, we want you to come to Australia, mate. So that'll be in the fall of 2020. Apparently they have a meeting, but they already have a speaker for 2019. So anyway, it looks like things are happening. Everything we said was really well received. And when I mentioned, you know, a minute ago in my, you know, about the work in Myanmar or Vietnam, you see, it does matter. There is a bigger picture. And we don't want to cut ourselves short, not only ourselves as individuals, collectively, whatever, but the church as a whole, Now, some of you know all this because you've been here for quite a while, but and I don't think Rod would mind that I mention him because he says it publicly. He felt for years they were just rotating around the basics until they had a chance to hear a little bit more information. Those are his words. Made all the difference in the world. Now, that's what Van Roo said. That's what those men in Myanmar said. They noticed there is a difference. When you're talking about the power of the gospel for day-to-day, life-changing power, but you see, we got to make it real. We got to make it real. Now, what I want to share a little bit about this morning, the theme in New Zealand was spiritual warriors. That was their theme. I didn't pick that. That's their theme. Spiritual warriors. Now, in Montana Family Camp last week, it was conversion in immersion. Some of you maybe heard some of those lessons. They had a lot of good lessons out to Montana at this camp on this. But for some reason, the first three or four speakers and some after, for some reason, they were talking about spiritual war from conversion in immersion. Because if you really unpackage how that conversion process takes place, you have to be prepared because you're going to end up in this great spiritual battle. And you have to be trained for it. You have to be equipped for it. So it is connected. So I had an opportunity to share in Montana. And one of the things that I shared with them was an experience that I had when I was a young Marine. You know, when you go through your boot camp and all your basic, you know, the training you get initially, it's intense. I mean, literally intense. I mean, back in the bad old days, man, they'd knock you out. You've heard my stories. I ain't gonna tell them stories. Because they fully intended to destroy your old man, your old mindset, because he didn't want your old slimy civilian mindset in their beloved corps. Because they were going to... I knew he couldn't sit still and be quiet. You see, because they had to hurry up and transform these young guys, these screwballs from high school... You know, these doo-wops coming in, just shucking and jiving and smacking each other in the head and thinking they were off to camp, you know. I mean, that's where they were on the bus from the airport in San Diego until they went through the barbed wire at Marine Corps Recruit Depot. And when that guy with the fancy dress blues on got off the bus who met us at the airport, who didn't say a word to us, he just took our record books. When that dude walked off that bus and he just walked into the night, the next guy that got on that bus, woo, Smokey the Bear hat filling the whole doorway, get off the bus, and some kid in the front seat chewing gum looking at him, and he smacked him, get that gum out of your mouth, boy, and it began. Now, that's intense. Now, that was going to last 12 weeks, and then another 3 months. For me, I had infantry training because I was going to be in the infantry. And the whole thing, you know, it's a different culture, that's for sure. You know, you lose your identity. That's all intentional. That's supposed to happen. I mean, think Christian. Think Christian. You lose your identity. You die, and something else totally new is raised up. And a lot of that was intense with the live fire. You know, we had Combat Town. We had VC Village, you know, set up at Camp Pendleton. I mean, they even had chickens and pigs in there to make it as real as they could. And people walking around with the straw hats, you know, a lot of live fire, you know, kill, 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 kill. Well, when I went overseas, I went to Okinawa, jungle training, went to the Philippines, jungle training. Because that's the rear area for the training for the 3rd Marine Division for Vietnam. And then all of a sudden they sent us out of the, you know, called us out of the jungle, put us on trucks, took us down to the ships, and the ships took off. A big hurry, big rush. And as with the ships were drifting out of sight, from land, because they don't tell you where you're going, because loose lips sink ships. Even though the Filipinos on the dock said, "You go to Nam, Joe." The Filipinos on the dock knew where the ships were going before we left. Well, they had helicopters that were flying back and forth to land with big nets, putting cargo down on the decks, and we're up there hauling all these boxes of ammo and all kinds of rounds and food, and I mean, it was pretty obvious something was up. But the point is, what I was able to share, you know, I was on the mess deck when they made the announcement. The captain came across and said, "You're all wondering why we left Subic in such a hurry. South Vietnam invaded Laos, and there's some U.S. Army trapped along the Laotian border by elements of three NVA divisions. All Marine personnel on board will make a full-scale assault against the North Vietnamese north of the DMZ." And my first thought when I heard that was, we can't do that. Somebody's going to get killed. I mean, that really was a shock to my mind. And, you know, I had to think about it later. Why was that such? Well, the shock was, see, it was no longer theory. It was reality, because guess what? Just like I'm looking at your faces, and how long have I known you guys? How long have we been in this together? You see, all of a sudden, when that came across, I was looking right in the faces of my friends. These are people I knew. When they talked about major casualties, if we do this, 3/4 of our battalion probably wiped out, 1,500. You see, these were my friends, and I knew them. And I didn't want that to happen to them. I didn't want that to happen. You see, we can talk all these scriptures about spiritual war. And we can get a lot of amens, brother. Amen. How many times has somebody gone over Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, about finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, because we're in a great big spiritual battle. How many lessons have we heard? The theme in New Zealand, spiritual warriors. I mean, I've been listening to that stuff for 30-some years. But what shocked me when I heard that message from the captain on the deck that day, I thought, what the heck have I been thinking for 6 months? 6 months. See, I was out of my culture from home. Talk about thinking I'd been through something radically different. I wasn't back in Michigan. I went into the military. I was in California. I was people I never saw before. And I was literally beat up, knocked down, kicked, punched, and put through the grinder I don't know how many times. Kill, kill, kill. There's a war going on. And obviously, right up until that moment on that mess deck, it wasn't real. How could it not be real? You know what I thought after me and Sue got immersed? And we started a whole new life again. Me and Sue's different. Back then, I mean, you know, the drinking was gone, the dope smoking was gone. We were going to church. Yeah, I mean, we were fellowshipping. Wasn't long, we were Bible studying. Pretty soon, we were teaching. All those years. And I thought, this is it, right? I'm not doing what I was before. I'm different. Had I really engaged in what the scripture was talking about in the great spiritual battle? You see, I've said it from right up front here before, that I was standing right up front when we were all over in Bellevue or Olivet, and it was my turn to do an evening lesson, and I was in Romans chapter 12. It just so happened that's where we were at, and I started running down this list here of what Paul was talking about in Romans 12, about, you know, now in our new life, in our ministry, he says in verse 8, he who exhorts, well, Exhort with exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. We want to abhor that which is evil. We want to cling to what is good. Not lagging in diligence. We're kindly affectionate with one another in brotherly love. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Here's a good one, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. I mean, he just ticking off a whole bunch of Christian character. And of course, I'm like, I agree with that. I mean, that, amen, you know, that's good stuff. But could I honestly say that was in my life? No. Because I thought to myself, you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm for that. But I thought, is that in my life and abounding? No. Remember what 2 Peter chapter 1, he would tell you, if you lack these things, he said, you're blind. You're blind. And I realized this wasn't real for me yet. Why not? Well, I didn't know. Man, I started taking another look at the scriptures. You see, I thought I was changed. I thought Sue and I were changed because we weren't doing what we used to do anymore. And we were actually hanging around with church people. That was different. But was that it? You see, no. And a lot of you guys were here when we started to work through the new creation principles, and a lot of your eyeballs popped open as well as mine, Sue and mine. Just like with the Burmese who came up and said, brother, no one has ever come here and shared this with us before. They were digging it. Here now we've been asked to come to another country, Australia, because those guys realize we just said something. I said the time, one time there with An Dong in Vietnam in Saigon. He has a small church there, and he had these older guys in the meeting, and he told me they're from the mountains. He said, these are leaders from the mountains. And so we were sharing things with An and that group, and later on, we had to leave and go on down to Kenta, and when we came back to Saigon a couple days, two, 3 days later, he's calling Bach and told Bach, I need to talk to Steve and Gary DiPaolo, right away. I said, well, tell him, come up here. We're at the hotel. We're back in Saigon. So he shows up. We go up to the rooftop, and he gets all conspiratorial-like. Old John, he's looking around. He goes, you remember those guys that came to the meeting at my place? And we're like, yeah. They said, this is the teaching. This is the teaching we need. He said, what Bible college do I go to get this teaching? We said, John, it didn't come from the Bible college. It came from the Bible. John's countenance fell. See, it comes out of the Bible. You see, so just like for those 6 months when my training was intense, a war going on and kill, kill, kill and all that stuff, and I thought it was real to me, but it wasn't. It wasn't. Just like many people in their faith journey, you know, it's hard to know when you're on a road you ain't never been on before. Am I there yet? Am I there yet? Not yet. How about now? Not quite. You see, you've never been there before. How do you know you're there? Well, you can know. The depth of the scripture will reveal that. Now, I was very fortunate. Well, see, it took 2 days, basically, maybe three. I'm trying to remember. Coming from the Philippines. If you look at a map, the Philippines, if you went straight out of the Philippines heading east, you're going to run smack right into Vietnam. They're like this. They're just water between them. And it was about 2 days by the ship going full blast. In fact, they told us, stand by for heavy rolls, because those big ships, the way them things go at sea, they're doing something with the currents and the waves. I don't know nothing about driving a boat, okay? But if you just go cutting across like that, you're going to get into these heavy rolls. And that thing was rocking and rolling because they had to get us there. Now, after the initial shock, I realized this is the real deal. So we were in preparation. We were out on the flight deck blasting away. They were throwing barrels into the water and we were shooting them up. You know, we're expending a lot of ammo preparing, and we're doing a lot of, you know, drills and all kinds of things. The flight deck's pretty big for the helicopter carriers. Now, I had to go through a mental process. I wanted to make sure I didn't let anybody down. That man, I didn't want my friends to die. I wasn't even almost so much concerned about myself, is I wanted to make doggone sure. A lot of those guys were veterans already. I could see it in their eyes. They were worried because they already spent 13 months in country. Some had been wounded, and they thought this is suicide. We found out later they expected 80% casualties, no medevacs. Okay, because it was a raid. Going through the process of making it in my own mind real, one, I thought, okay, worst case, got to process. Wonder if I get wounded. No problem. You can heal from wounds. Check. Wonder if I get killed. No problem. Everybody dies. We're all dying, right? 100% mortality in this room. Okay? Everybody dies. So if I die, well, I was going to die anyway. No problem. Check. Now, the one I was struggling with was a little bit was unable to get through and out. On a raid, you go in this way, through and out another. That's the pickup point is on the other side. So if you don't show up at the pickup point, guess what? You don't make it. I didn't want to wake up and find myself wounded and left behind looking at North Vietnamese soldiers that are kicking me down the road to the Hanoi Hilton. I didn't feel like being tortured and put in the suitcase like they like to do to people. Did you ever notice John McCain never could raise his arms? You know, John McCain recently passed away. He was tortured unbelievably in the Hanoi Hilton with a whole bunch of other guys. And one of the tortures they like to do is put the guys in the suitcase, meaning they put ropes around their arms, around the back, then they would put their boot in the guy's back and they would pull those ropes and rip their shoulders out of the sockets. And then they'd pull their legs up over their shoulder, they'd box them up so you could put them in a suitcase. I've seen the sketches of what you look like when they tie you up like that. Well, McCain, if you ever noticed, he kind of walked like this, and if he shook, you know, he couldn't raise his arms up because of that torture. I did not want nothing to do with being put in a suitcase. Not that they put you in one, but you could be put in one. So I thought, I will keep a grenade. And if that's where I find myself and I can't get out, I will pull the pin and just end it, and then I'll be dead, no problem, because everybody dies. So I actually had to go through a process in my own mind to accept the reality of what we're all about. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16? Verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, one, let him deny himself, take up his cross, let's go. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. What does it profit for a man to gain if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, Jesus is basically, he sounds like a recruiting poster here. You know, they used to have recruiting posters back in those days that says, you know, nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. Okay? This sounds like a recruiting poster. You want to follow me? You know, I remember one they had, if everyone could beat the Marines, we wouldn't beat the Marines, you know? And one was because there was a song out, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. So the Marine took that and stuck it on a poster, and it shows some DI in some recruit's face, and the caption was, "We never promised you a rose garden." Jesus said, you want to follow me? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You're going to have to give up your life, he said, to save your life. Now, we could look at that, those words on a paper, but there's reality associated with that. When we walked across from the building this morning, us guys, you know, we must have really insulated this building. Man, that gunfire was loud. Pow, 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 bam, bam, bam. You remember when we had our camp? Man, we were trying to be under that tent, and Kristen played that real nice song they had on the YouTube or something. It has a nice melody, and then Alan Marshall got up, gently plucking the strings as we were getting our mindset to be prepared for the Lord's Supper. So nice, beautiful day, blue sky, you know, temperature was really great, perfectly fine, great fellowship, pow, pow, bam, 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 boom, boom, boom. Sound like we were in a combat zone the whole time we're sitting out there, because obviously it was louder out there than it is in here. They must still be shooting. I don't know, maybe we can't hear it. I got up there and I said to you guys, if you remember, I said, can you hear that shooting, that gunfire? And they're looking at me like, hello, what do you think? And I said, you know what? I think that's cool. Because, see, that's where we're at. We say there's a war going on, and it's nonstop. You think the devil's taking a break here? The adversary that walks around seeking whom he may destroy? I mean, granted, we could hear that gunfire, but hey, by faith, could we hear a little artillery maybe? How about some screams? How about the cries? How about the helicopter roar? All the sights and sounds of combat. Here's the deal, brother. If you know, for a lot of people, if they can't see it, if they can't hear it, it ain't real. But see, we're supposed to be people of faith. Paul said, look, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, why we don't look to things seen. He said, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You see, if Christians only look at things seen, remember what Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, if we can't hear that warfare, then it is not real. And guess what happens when our mind perceives that something is not real? You don't respond. You don't react. Why should you? We all have priorities. You guys know your own life. Look at your own calendar. What's all on your calendar? What's your priority? I don't think digging a foxhole is on your calendar or making sure your weapons are clean. I'll tell you what, if you was in a combat zone, that would be on your calendar. You'd be real concerned about that. But see, we don't do that many times because it's not real. It's still theoretical. It's still, yeah, it's lofty, but it's not real right now. Is it? Is these scriptures, are they serious? Is Paul serious? Is there a warfare? Yes, there is. Is it ongoing? Yes, it is. I think I shared this in Montana. And I did, like I said, that raid was called off. We trained right up until the jumping off point. We were already to Vietnam at the Da Nang Harbor area. I mean, now we're moving north, and I mean, this thing is going to go and all of a sudden stand down. Stand down. Of course, they don't tell us why. So we didn't have to go do that raid. Now, they kept us there for 3 months for similar operations. You know, we were a standby force. We were a quick reaction force. But oh, there you go, pop, pop, pop. You hear that? I like that. So we didn't have to do nothing. We left there finally and went back to Okinawa, Japan. Now that's hindsight, which is 20/20. I didn't know it then. But this warfare that we're in right now, We're in it. This is real. It is ongoing. And it's more deadly, more dangerous, more powerful than any man-made war, just like anything in the scripture is far greater than the physical things in this life. The Old Testament, God's people, starting the book of Numbers in the first chapter, children of Israel were numbered at 20 years and older, able to bear sword and able to go to war, all males. And they were divided up. When you look in the book of Numbers, that all the tribes were divided up except the tribe of Levi, and to go into their new life by killing the occupants of the, let's basically the land of Canaan, but it was the seven nations of Canaan, the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Jebusite, all these ites. They had to fight. Woo, man, what a horrendous thing that would have been to be a part of that. Well, is that greater than what the Christian is called to? But see, if we by faith don't make this real and prepare for battle, prepare. That was some of the message. In fact, it was Mike Ferguson that preached the first one, and he talked about being prepared. And he gave examples in his life of, you know, not being prepared and rushing out to do something, and the results he got was failure. Well, that would be true in anything. But he was applying it, I think he used it, it became a movie, Nha Trang Valley in Vietnam. It was a horrendous battle. The book was written about it, We Were Soldiers. If you ever watched that, I mean, our guys just about got slaughtered in that place. And so what Mike Ferguson was bringing out, the preparations and the belief or the faith of the commander, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore, that he was going to get his guys home and the preparations. And I mean, so the whole taking those physical examples sometime to make it real for the Christians is what we have to do. But that's something each one of us has to do. But what a powerful lesson I know I learned personally. Now, a lot of people have had other experiences in life that does the exact same thing to you. When reality sets in a big way. How many people maybe that you've maybe known went to the doctor because they're having a problem, and the doctor says, put your things in order because you're done. Wasn't there, I think maybe even there was a country song that, where the lyric was something like, live like you were dying. We are dying. Physically. But as our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed every day if we see it by faith. And if we fight the good fight of faith. See, I don't know how to make it real. I'm anymore, except for my own self. But I never forgot that lesson of almost 48 years ago when I thought it was real for me because I'd been through so much preparation to make it real. But when it got right down to it, man, I wasn't ready for it at all. What a shocker. I was like, what the heck have I been thinking all this time? You know, in Jeremiah, now another point I want to make, you know, that's true with God's people all the time. It was true in the Old Testament, true in the New Testament, is people don't make it real. And if it ain't real, you don't prepare for it. So you're not ready to respond. And man, when it happens, boom, what a shock. Brethren, this is one surprise we don't want to have, because that day's coming. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 13? Do this, he said. We need to do this. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Our salvation, he said, is nearer than when we first believed. Time is not our friend. This hourglass is running out. The word that came to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 25 concerning the people of Judah, okay, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, the 23rd year, which Lord, the word of the Lord has come to me, I've spoken to you, rising early, speaking, but you have not listened. He said, I've been preaching 23 years. He said, you ain't getting it. The Lord sent you prophets, or his servants, the prophets, rising early, sending them, but you haven't listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now, every one of their evil way. That's what the prophets were telling you. And you're of your evil doings. Dwell in the land that the Lord has given you and your fathers forever and ever. Don't go after the other gods. Don't be serving them or worshiping them. Don't provoke God to anger. Don't provoke me to anger, God said, with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you haven't listened, Jeremiah said to me, thus saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger and the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you've not heard my words, behold, I will send, take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he's going to bring, going to attack. I'm just trying to shorten it up here. Verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon, including you, Israel, 70 years. Jeremiah told them, I've been warning you all this time. And you know what they said? Shut up. Shut up. Be all time coming down on this with that. What happened? In the same book, Babylon showed up. Nebuchadnezzar showed up. They were freaking out then. It's too late. Too late. See, we're weird. People are weird. They got all this information, even agree with it, and go right out and act like they didn't hear it at all. In Matthew, we'll close it up with this, 24. In Matthew chapter 24, you see, we got to make it real, brother. Old Testament didn't make it real. New Testament, early church did not make it real. Warnings to seven churches in the book of Revelation, Asia Minor. No good to say to five. All of them are gone now. All of them got their candlestick put out. God's people. You see, the God of this world, that was part of my lesson in Montana, the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter, first it says in chapter 3, their minds are blinded. The Jews' minds were blinded in the reading of the Old Testament. The minds of the people are blind today in the reading of the New Testament, same blindness. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, tells you it is the God of this world that blinds the minds of the people. List the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. It's intelligent evil that blinds our minds so we can't see. Jesus said, here, the parable, verse 32, Matthew 24, sorry, 24, verse 32. Learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know summer's near. So you also, when you see all these things, know it. Look, it's at the doors. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Look around. Examine yourself, Paul would say. Don't you know your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobate, cut off, disqualified? Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Jesus said, heaven and earth going to pass away, but my words are never going to pass away. But of that day, that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, only my Father. Just like the days of Noah will also be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they're eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark, didn't even know, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Two be in the field, one taking the other left. Two women grinding, one taking the other left. Watch, therefore. You don't know what hour the Lord is coming, but know this, if the master of the house had known what hour a thief would have come, he'd have watched his, wouldn't allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also, we need to be ready, he said, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. See, we got to make it real. And just like I thought it was real when I was 6 months in and already been through so many changes, I thought, well, this must be it. No, it wasn't. Because when the real reality set in, I was blown away. I was shocked. 12 years in teaching, baptizing people, and 12 years of it being a different person, I thought, is this it? But I knew something was missing. I knew something was missing. Ah, and there was something missing. Because God brings us up through these various phases. That's why we have to mature in Christ Jesus. And a lot of people don't realize that. So there is more, but it's a good more. It's a good more, a good change. So don't cut ourselves short, brethren. We need to hang in there. We need to press on. We need to make our calling and election sure, because if we do these things as he's called us to do, we will never fail, but there will be an entrance opened up and supplied for us into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you.